He says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, I'm drawing our attention on this Sunday morning to that word bitterness. Do you see it there? Now, you need to understand that the book of Hebrews, the writer of which there is debate about of who actually penned the book of Hebrews. But whomever it is, the writer is actually letting us know as he writes to the Hebrew believers that it is possible, listen to me, that a Christian, a believer, a saved person can be bitter.
Amen.
You know, there are certain topics that we come to, and they're hard topics. They're tough topics. Not only to receive, as we did a couple of weeks ago, but also to deliver, because they hit so close to home to every one of us. I imagine that there is a measure of bitterness in every one of our lives today. Amen. Over something. Or there has been at some point in our past. And so this morning, we're going to talk about another tough topic for today's church. I'm going to talk to you about the secret killer of Christians. It's bitterness. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. It has been said that one of the secret killers among women is heart disease. One of the secret killers among men is high blood pressure. I'm in no position to debate that. I would not know. I have to trust those statistics. We hear a lot about those. But when it comes to spiritual matters, ladies and gentlemen, I would have to say that the number one secret killer of Christian lives and the overall happiness of Christians has got to be this matter of bitterness.
Amen.
Now, many of you may be wondering, why are we selecting this topic of bitterness to be a tough topic for today's church? Speaking of the series that we are in, tough topics for today's church, because we refer to bitterness a lot, don't we? We make reference to bitterness a good bit, but I've decided to dedicate an entire message to this topic of bitterness because no one wants to be known as a bitter person. Therefore, those of us that do harbor bitterness in our hearts and lives in one way or another, we really have a hard time admitting that we are bitter over something. Therefore, this is without a doubt a tough topic for today's church, because this matter of bitterness, it is the secret and the silent killer of Christian lives today. Now, before I get started, I want to give you four things, and I'm asking you to write all of these things down today that I think are important that we understand before we even get into the matter of bitterness in our lives. The first thing I want you to write down is this: everyone has been hurt. Everyone has been hurt. I think sometimes when we face the difficult moments of life, something or someone has hurt us so badly, we feel like we are exclusive in it. And so everybody should just pander to us as a result because we've been hurt. But you need to understand, everybody in life has been hurt. The second thing I want you to write down is these hurts, they can turn to bitterness. These hurts can turn to bitterness. If we do not handle the hurts of life God's way, the way that God has designed in His Word for us to handle it, you rest assured you will turn into a bitter person.
Amen.
The third thing that you need to write down is God tells us to respond to the hurt with grace. And we'll see that in verse number 15. See, grace is giving good to people who deserve bad. Grace is giving good to people who deserve bad. The fourth thing that you need to write down is dealing with these hurts. It is not a one-time experience, but it is an exercise that has to be repeated every time the hurt resurfaces. Dealing with these hurts is not a one-time experience, but it is an exercise that has to be repeated every time the hurt resurfaces. living in and among this messed up, ungodly world that we are in, there are always going to be people and circumstances that are going to seemingly pour salt in the open wounds of the hurts that we are trying so hard to let heal and to cover up. And it's a constant battle with resurfaced bitterness in our life. All of this combines to what I am calling the secret killer of Christians today. It's bitterness. And I'm sure there are many of us this Sunday morning, we are dying inside because of bitterness. Can we talk about this tough topic for today's church for a little while? I'm asking God to help me today. And I'm asking the Lord to help you as well, because this is the secret killer of Christians. Think with me, first of all, about the roots of bitterness. The roots of bitterness. Verse number 15 tells us this exactly. Lest any root of bitterness. Lest any root of bitterness. It is no accident whatsoever that our Lord, through divine inspiration, He likens bitterness to a root. You see, you need to understand that roots, they go deep. Roots, they go roots, they grow dominant. Roots, they get dangerous. Roots, they govern designs. Roots even grossly distort, and roots greatly are dangerous. Roots are things that can come up in our lives, and roots can affect every aspect of how we are living. Never underestimate those descriptive words that our Lord uses in His Bible, because in this case, roots, they are there for a purpose. And when we consider this matter of bitterness and how they are likened to roots, we need to understand that they are a concealed hindrance. Roots are something that are up under the ground, are they not? They are a concealed hindrance. Roots always start up under the surface. And in many cases, we don't even know that they are there. We don't know how deep they are, how impactful they are going to be in our lives. From time to time, you can see various types of video productions, maybe television productions or whatever, and they'll have computerized images. Maybe you've seen them, an overhead view, and it's looking down upon a tree, and then it zooms in on the ground, and then it shows you up under the surface of the ground. And as it does, do you know what I'm talking about? You can see roots going up and down, left and right, literally in all directions. You see, the root up under the ground, its main job of that root, it is to make strong that which is above the ground. It is to feed life to what is above the ground. Everything that everybody else can see, the root is actually the result of. This is why it is so important that you and I be rooted in the right things, the things of God, because this world will, as we'll see in a moment, eventually see exactly what is under the surface of our life. You see, bitterness, it is just like a root. It is like a root that at first we cannot see, we cannot sense in all of its ways. But if we had a computerized image, as I just described, and as it zoomed down upon the tree of our life and the surface of our life and went up under it, I'm sure that they would see roots of bitterness going left and right, up and down, and in every direction of our life. As a matter of fact, there are doubtless those of us that are sitting here this morning. You woke up and you came to church. God bless you for being in the house of God. But you just know that there is something that is amiss in your life. Something that is spiritually off. It just is not right with the joy, the love, the peace, the overall optimistic attitude that you once had. You just don't feel right anymore. Things are just off. And if that be the case with you, I'm just letting you know that there is a very good likelihood that if you could look just below the surface of your life, you would see the roots of bitterness going up and down, left and right, literally in all directions. Can you imagine the amount of bitterness the roots of bitterness that are represented in God's house this morning, in this building today. You see, just as a root does, bitterness, it is hidden. It is a concealed hindrance that most people cannot see, and in many cases, we don't even realize is there. We can't see it, and we can't sense it, but that bitterness is keeping us from being who God really wants us to be. But as time continues to go past, we not only see that this is a concealed hindrance, but we are going to learn that it is a caustic harm. The word caustic is a word we don't hear much of, C-A-U-S-T-I-C. But it is just simply meaning that it is capable of destroying, eating away. It is talking about being marked by. How many of us know lives that are just marked by bitterness? You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their body language. Bitterness is just what they are known for. It is what their life is marked by. Verse number 15 says, "And thereby many be defiled." Now I'm going to come back to that word defiled in just a few minutes, but right now you need to know this and write it down if you can. That word defile, it is actually speaking of to sully, to taint, and to contaminate is what it is talking about. In other words, these roots of bitterness that are in our lives, they are those things that are first concealed. In other words, they are hindered from our lives. But over time and as years continue to pass, that hindrance, it begins to make its way to the surface. Just like a root will actually do. And we all know what that looks like, right? Roots are always up underground, but as they grow and as they expand and as time goes on, roots begin to pop up through the ground and you begin to see the various harm that there is involved. This bitterness, it could have been something that was said or something that was done to us way back when we were a child, maybe as a teenager or even a young adult. It doesn't matter the age. There are people that battle with bitterness from all ages because of circumstances that have come up in our lives, things that we just have not handled right, things that have happened in our past that we just simply cannot get over. And as the years continue to pass, and as the circumstances of life just get more and more difficult, we find ourselves being more and more dissatisfied with life. We are hating what we are becoming. Something is off in our life. Something is missing in our life. We are beginning to feel things and emotions in our life that we didn't even know that we were capable of feeling. We don't like the person that we are turning into. We are somebody that nobody really wants to be around because nobody knows how to respond to us anymore because we're so unhappy. Bitterness is in our life as it continues to grow and as it continues to expand. We just get so frustrated. We get so upset with ourselves. We cannot conceal it anymore. We cannot control it. We are learning anymore. We can't even really put our finger on what the root, true root cause is of it. And we don't even know where to start in trying to fix it. But we know that something just is not right. And we realize that bitterness could be what it is. And all of a sudden, what was once hidden to us, it begins to become more evident. And it begins to become a caustic harm. That hidden, concealed hindrance begins to affect our lives in ways that we never even wanted. We see our personality being altered. We see our overall optimism to life. It just isn't there anymore because what was all hidden on the inside of us is starting to come out and we are beginning to experience. That concealed hindrance turns to a caustic harm, but then suddenly, surprisingly, out of the middle of nowhere, the blue, it seems, there is a confirmed hazard. You look at verse number 15, the Bible says, lest any root of bitterness, look at this word, springing, do you see that? Springing up, trouble you. That word springing that we see, it actually speaks of swells up, or it is actually sprouting up. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, you've seen it before. You can walk through my yard and you can see how the roots have come up. I've lived in my house since 1993. And I can remember a time when the roots were not there on the surface. But as years have passed and as the waters have strengthened the roots underneath, they begin to pop up through the surface. In many cases, the path that I used to walk on the sidewalk, they say we can't pull our bushes out because roots are all up under the sidewalk and you can see it cracking through the sidewalk now. And the path that I once walked in life that was an easy walk at one time with no hazards or no harms that were there at all of a sudden, if I'm not careful, I'll find myself tripping over a root that has come up out of the ground. It was once hidden. It did not used to be there. You see, roots will only stay hidden for so long. Just like bitterness will only stay hidden for so long. And before long, as we are walking down our path of life, what was once hidden within us all of a sudden begins to affect us. And then it'll pop out for the rest of the world to see. And we're going to trip and we're going to fall. We're going to skin our knees. We're going to scrape ourselves. We're going to scar ourselves up because that which was way down deep within us at one point has now made its way suddenly, surprisingly. And we were not expecting it. We were not prepared for it. But it has made its way out in our life. And here's the thing, in many cases, the way it comes out, it will humiliate us. I've sat down and I've talked to a lot of people over the years, and as soon as they sit down in the office and I look across the table, the desk, at them, you can look in their eyes, you can look in their face, and you can see that something just is not right. The weight of the world is all over them. The Spirit of God is not glowing. There is no radiating of the Spirit of God. And they begin to tell me their story. And more they tell me their story about what has gone on in their life, the more and more my mind is turning on it about how bad they have been hurt and the circumstances of life that they have been so negatively affected in. The more and more they tell about it, my mind begins wondering. And I try never to say anything until they are finished talking about what their burden is in their life. And then when they are finished, I will approach them with this question and I'll say, is it possible that there is some level of bitterness that is within your life? The vast majority of the time, without hesitation, they will respond, I'm not bitter. Excuse me. Don't know how I missed that one so badly. But in reality, they are eaten up with bitterness. It's eating them just like a disease. And all of a sudden, it was hidden at one time, but then they started experiencing, and that's why they're sitting in the office. And then all of a sudden, it comes out in a public way. And in many cases, it is just humiliating to them. How many of us through the years we've had bitterness in one way or another that is in our lives? It's been hidden. And then we knew something was wrong. And then somehow, in a humiliating way, surprisingly shocking us, it just jumps out. Maybe in a public setting. And it reveals what is really within us. It's the roots of bitterness that are making their way out in our lives. We need to follow the advice of Samuel Johnson when he said, never trust your tongue when your heart is bitter. Amen. Never trust your tongue when your heart is bitter. The roots of bitterness. Can you see the computerized image now looking down on your life? Looking under the surface of your life and mine, and is it possible you're seeing the roots of bitterness going up and down and left and right, literally in all directions? You need to understand there is a caustic harm that is coming with that concealed hindrance, and there is going to come a moment when that which was concealed is going to pop out, and it's going to be a hazard that is going to affect you and humiliate you and damage your testimony. If you do not deal with the roots of bitterness. But then we also see the results of bitterness. I don't mind publicly saying in this place or even online that there are many things that I cannot line up with Rick Warren on. I just don't agree with him on a lot of things. But he did say something that caught my attention. May I read it to you? It's not just what you eat that matters. It's what eats you. You can have all the right kinds of organic foods, But if your body is filled with resentment, worry, fear, lust, guilt, anger, bitterness, or any other emotional disease, it's going to shorten your life. Many Christians through the years have gone to heaven out of the will of God because bitterness has shortened their life. I believe that's absolutely true. And I'll illustrate it for you in just a little while. But according to the Word of God, the roots of bitterness, they go so much further, and they result, first of all, in a spiritual indifference. You'll no longer care about the things of God like you once did. Verse number 16, it says, lest there be any fornicator, or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. The writer invokes the name Esau, doesn't he? It is a name that many of us are pretty familiar with. He makes the reference of Esau being a fornicator and a profane person. But when he uses the word fornicator, he is not speaking about a physical immorality, but it is a spiritual unfaithfulness. It is a spiritual indifference to the things of God. The word profane, it's a very interesting word. It comes from two Latin words, pro, meaning against, and then famen, meaning simply temple. Now, we know what the temple was in these days. The temple was the hub of all things spiritual. Did you put the two together? Esau was against God. Esau was against God. Why was Esau against God? Well, to understand why Esau was against God, we actually have to go back all the way to Genesis chapter 25, and we've got to be reminded of the familiar story that Esau and Jacob give us. Many of you know the story, but you remember how Jacob stole the birthright of Esau. In other words, Jacob did Esau wrong. And oh, Esau never got over that. Bitterness began to swell up in the heart and in the life of Esau, and he never did deal with it. He never could get past it. Esau was not interested in spiritual things that would carry him into the future. He was only interested in what would satisfy him physically in that very moment. Now, everybody, listen to me and look at me right now. Hear me very closely. Because a weak spiritual life, an indifferent spiritual life, it automatically makes us more vulnerable to bitterness. Why? Because we are more sensitive to things that would have never mattered to us before. We are more offended by things that in the big picture, they just don't matter. And when we were walking with God, when we were living for God, we were so spiritually online with Him that we didn't care about the little things people said or did to us. We'll talk about that tonight. You need to be back tonight. I'm going to deal with church discipline tonight. It's a tough topic. But there were times when we just didn't care about that because we were walking with God. We were living with God. But now that we are a bitter person, we are offended by everything. We are bothered by this. We are bothered by that. And we let those little things that did not used to matter really, really just damage and destroy our life. Bitterness is how we punish ourselves for other people's sin. Did you know that? Bitterness is how we punish ourselves for other people's sin. Now, there are a few creatures that God created that I just don't like. Okay, I'm not a big fan of rats. Grew up with them in Germany. I can tolerate them. I don't like spiders, but I hate snakes. They have a purpose, and there are people that I know that have had them as pets. So many other illustrations we could give with that. But I hate snakes. It is said, and this is not by firsthand experience, because anytime I've encountered a rattlesnake, there's been twice I have not stuck around to see if this is true, I've been gone. But it is said that a rattlesnake, when cornered, sometimes it becomes so angry that it bites itself. Think about that. I want you to understand that's exactly what harboring hate and bitterness in the heart of a child of God does to us. We think that us becoming bitter, we are hurting the person that hurt ourselves. When in reality, we're doing nothing but hurting us. We're hurting ourselves spiritually. We're biting ourselves. We're biting ourselves, and with that comes the venom of bitterness and hate. And it goes all throughout our lives. It goes all throughout our very worlds. And you and I are biting ourselves today. And that is the result of the root of bitterness that has come up in our world because we don't know how to handle it. And we have not dealt with it the right way. Bitterness, it results in a spiritual indifference. A bitter person is someone who does not care about the things of God that they once cared about. And when you see yourself slipping away from spiritual things, you need to understand that somewhere there is likely the root of bitterness, and you're experiencing the result of bitterness in a spiritual indifference when there's no hunger for the Word of God, no hunger to commune with Him in prayer, no hunger to be among the people of God anymore in worship and fellowship and such things. There is a root of bitterness that is somewhere within you, and if you looked under the surface, it's going up and down and left and right and in all direction. It is harming you. It is affecting your countenance. It is affecting your testimony because everybody sees bitterness. That caustic harm is going to be a hazard. And the result of it is going to be a spiritual indifference. But then as time continues to go on, there will be a social impact that it will have with others. I'm taking you back again to verse number 15. And thereby many be defiled. Do you remember I shared that word defiled with you a few moments ago? And we talked about how that it means to sully, it means to taint, to contaminate. Do you realize those words, many be defiled, what they are saying? They are saying that the bitterness of our life right now, that bitterness that is the root that is within our life that maybe nobody else can see, nobody else can sense at first, but it's a caustic harm. It's a devastating harm to us. It's going to pop out eventually. That root will do. Eventually, it's also going to hurt others. It's going to taint others. It's going to contaminate others. The bitterness of our life will affect your spouse. It will affect your children. It will affect your co-workers. It will affect the work of God and the church of God as well. You see, Esau traded away his birthright. And if you know anything about that story, you know that that birthright in the Old Testament days, it was everything. Amen. He traded away his birthright to satisfy his immediate physical hunger. He wasn't concerned about the long-term spiritual things. But what Esau didn't realize, he ignored the fact that him trading away that spiritual birthright, that indifference that he had in his life, what it meant was he traded away the very blessing of God that was going to come upon him of being the priest of Abraham's family and thus putting him in the line for be the descendant of the Messiah himself. Why? Indifference. Do you realize how many spiritual blessings you and I are missing today because of indifference? Spiritual indifference. We just don't care anymore about the things of God. We are indifferent, and then we blame God when things doesn't go just right. Spiritual indifference is robbing us of who God really wants us to be. That's how it was with Esau. There was a spiritual indifference. He missed the blessing of God that could have been poured out upon his life. As a matter of fact, the story of Esau and Jacob is so incredible, but we see it highlighted again here in Hebrews chapter 12. Look in verse number 17 with me. Look how it develops. Speaking of Esau, for you know how that afterward, this is after the whole birthright experience, when he would have inherited the blessing. Look at this. He was rejected, for he found no place of repentance. Look at this phrase. Though he sought it carefully with tears. Though he sought it carefully with tears. Are you listening to me, church? If you do not handle the bitterness of your life, there will come a point when you just won't know how or if you will ever be able to get right spiritually again. And if you've ever dealt with bitterness, then you know what I'm talking about. You long for the day, as the psalmist David did, to be back in the presence of God and in the house of God. You just don't know if or how you'll ever be able to get back to that point again. Because bitterness has taken over your life. Bitterness, it caused Esau, you see, to cross a line by which there was no return for. Did you know that a Christian can cross a line that there is no going back? And it caused him to cross a line. There was no returning for. And the verse number 17, the words of verse number 17, look at it. Though he sought it carefully with tears. You need to understand that it is not speaking right here that he was trying his best to repent and get right with God. That's not what it was. No. He had crossed a line. And when it talks about pursuing it even with tears, what it means simply is he was over there crying. He was over there boo-hooing about how unfair it was, about how his life had turned out. He was still hung in spiritual indifference. He never got that right. He was still hung in it. And he was having his own self-proclaimed little pity party. Can I graciously say to our hearts, with God being my helper, that those of us who find ourselves having pity parties, we're just wallowing in our own little pool of bitterness. Because life has not turned out the way we thought that it would. Esau, that's where he was in this setting. Do you understand? For 4,500 years, innocent people have become prey of the results of one spiritually indifferent man. It was Esau. A matter of fact, Jimmy DeYoung did a video some years ago. If you've not seen it, I encourage you to go and look at it. It's called Esau and the Palestinians. We know Esau as the man, as our preachers would know, as the man who was the descendants of all the Edomites. He was the head of the Edomites. He was the father of the Edomites. But did you know the Edomites were destroyed, and what was left over of them then translated into the Palestinian people themselves. Amen. Do you know what is going on over in Gaza and Israel right now? It's because there's just a bunch of bitter people that are still suffering the results of one bitter man, one man that had spiritual indifference. People are dying. People are being mutilated because bitterness in the root of somebody's heart and life some 4,500 years ago totally took over their worlds. It affected everybody. Everybody that followed him. Again, I want to be so kind, I really do, but you need to understand that a bitter person is a bad influence on other people. Whether it be physically, emotionally, or spiritually, that bitterness affects us other people. It influences their lives. It spreads into other people's worlds. And that caustic harm, what was hidden with you but became caustic to you, it becomes caustic to others. And it becomes hazards to other people. A bitter person is one who is not interested in spiritual things. And do you know what a bitter person will do? A bitter person will begin to push away you from the things of God. A bitter person will keep you from getting to God. And do you know that's exactly what a terrorist does? He brings everybody else into his agenda. And that's what a bitter person will do. The bitter person will keep those that are closest to them away from the things of God. You and I, we have the roots of bitterness that is in our life. There are the results, and you know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I've lived it. I've experienced it. You have too. The roots of bitterness, you have felt the results of bitterness. How many of you are glad you have a Bible? Because we don't have to stop with the roots of bitterness and the results of bitterness, but we can talk about the remedy for bitterness. We don't have to live a bitter life. God can take our life and change our life. Just because bitterness, we've experienced the roots of bitterness, and though we have experienced as well the results of all of that bitterness, doesn't mean there's no result. Doesn't mean that there's no remedy that we can experience for it. God can help us overcome the bitterness of our lives. If the silent killer of Christians, that being bitterness, if it is eating you away today, and if you really want to know how to fix it, and if you're really serious about fixing it, you need to understand the first thing you need to have is a faith secured. You need to have a faith secured. You have got to come to the point that you make a decision that you're going to get back on the right side of spiritual things. You just got to make a choice. I'm all the time talking about making a choice. You've got to make a choice now and forever. You're going to walk with God. You're going to get right with God. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14 particularly gives us a roadmap of that. I want you to look at it. He says, follow peace with all men. Do you see it? Follow peace with all men. In other words, you got to learn to get along with people. Before you'll get along with people, you got to get along with yourself. More on that in a moment. But look at the next words. After following peace with all men, he says, and. In other words, there's something else that has to be done. It does not say or, it says and. In other words, you got to get along with husband, wife. You got to get along with son, daughter. You've got to get along with co-worker. You've got to get along with church members. And on top of that, you've got to, the Bible says, you got to follow holiness. You got to walk with God. You cannot live with one foot on each side. You've got to walk with God and holiness. Then he says, without which no man shall see the Lord. How many of you are saved in God's house this morning? If you've truly been saved by the grace of God, this ought to be motivation enough to keep you and I out of bitterness, because a bitter person is a person that the world cannot see the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. A bitter person can't even tell that we're saved. How many times through the years have people been repelled from the things of God because they looked in our eyes and they saw bitterness in our eyes and on our face before we ever even had the opportunity to say a word to prove to them otherwise? They've been turned away from the things of God. We need to understand that this is hard, especially when we've been hurt so badly. Hurt is real. You've been hurt. I've been hurt. We have grown bitter over it. We have been hurt so badly by the matters and the people of this life. But we have got to trust the fact that God may have a bigger purpose for it. Maybe something that we can't see. Something that we cannot understand. My mind is drawn to Romans 8:28. Where Paul said, we know that all things work together for the good to those that love God. Amen. Those that are called according to His purpose. No matter how bad life may seem, no matter how deep the bitterness and the hurt may go, we've got to find ourselves in the place spiritually where we start looking for some good in the middle. Amen. Of all the bad that just seems to be overwhelming our lives. We must have faith that God has a reason for that person that has done us wrong. God has a reason for that accident that has so catastrophically come into our lives. God has a reason for the loss of that job, that financial collapse. God has a reason for why we're having to bid farewell to our loved one. God has a reason. We've got to come to the promise that He's given us, that He knows what's best. Amen. We've got to secure our faith. That's hard to do. See, bottom line, bitterness, it is evidence of a life that simply does not trust God with everything. Amen. Lock, stock, and barrel, saying, dear God, I don't like this. He never said we had to like it. I didn't want to be in this place. He never said that we wouldn't be in this place. But God, in the middle of my sorrow, in the middle of my grief, by your grace and your help, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to secure my faith in the sovereign God of the universe, the one that I trust with my very eternity. If I can trust him with my eternity, I can trust him, or I should be able to, with my circumstance. Amen. There has to be a faith secured. But once you've gotten yourself on the right side of spiritual things, there's got to be a forgiveness shown. Not only to yourself, it starts with forgiving yourself for allowing yourself to fall into bitterness. So many of our problems that we're dealing with today is we can't get past our own mistakes. We're just drowning in the regret that we have made in our past. And we can't seem to get past all that. You've got to come to the place where you forgive yourself based on the fact God has already promised that he'll forgive you. Amen. Why do we keep living in it? God has said, I'll forgive you if you just come to me. And if you've done that, we've got to come to the spot where we forgive ourselves of all the stuff before bitterness can even begin to heal on the inside of us. But then beyond that, we've got to learn to forgive other people that have hurt us so badly. Forgiveness means that we are willing, with no exceptions, to cancel the debt. Not partially, but I'm talking about entirely cancel the debt of what everybody else has done wrong against us. Now listen to me, that takes grace. It takes grace. And that's where we see it given to us in verse number 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. I don't want you to be confused by that word fail that is given to us. It is not referring to falling from grace. It is not referring to a loss of salvation. But we translate that word simply to mean fall back. Fall back. Can I put it this way? It is a believer who fails to avail himself to the means that God has given to avoid the backslidden state of bitterness. You know what the Lord is telling us? He's telling you, I've given you a remedy. I've given you a grace to be able to be the remedy for the bitterness that you are fighting with and the bitterness that you are dealing with in your life. I've given you a remedy for it. But you know what else he's also telling us? The Lord is simply right now, he is waving a flag to you and I, and he is simply saying, come to me. He's saying, just talk to me. Tell me. Tell me how bad you're hurting. Tell me about what that person did wrong to you. Tell me about how the circumstances of life have just devastated you. Tell me about how I can help. Tell me about how my grace can step in and not only get you to another day, but my grace can help you heal from all of the hurt. There is a grace that is available to us. Every one of us that are here today, we need this grace. We've all been affected by this matter of bitterness. But we need to know that it is only available to us if we go to God and we ask God for it. It is his grace that he showed us at Calvary that allows us to forgive ourselves and to forgive others of all of the wrong things and the bad things that have been done to us that has caused us to be in the chains of bitterness for all of these years. The remedy for bitterness, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to secure your faith. You are a child of God, and you're going to trust God with whatever comes your way. Remember, it won't always be this way. Amen. One day we're going to be on the other side, and all of these matters of life, they will not have mattered to us anymore in eternity. We've got to come to the point, this is part of life. Secure our faith. There's got to be a faith secured, a forgiveness that is shown. I understand, though, how hard that is. I understand that it's difficult. That's why you've got to have a fighting spirit. You can't just collapse under the pressure of everything that you're dealing with and everything that you're fighting with. You look at the words of verse number 15 again, looking diligently. Those words, looking diligently, I mean, are they not telling us that we've got to have some action behind this? We've got to fight for some things. There's nothing wrong with a believer fighting for what the Bible tells us we can fight for. Those words, looking diligently, they actually carry the idea of direction. It says you are looking for some answers. Those of us right now that are just dealing with the bitterness in our life, the confusion in our life, we know that something just is not spiritually right. We cannot put our finger on what it is, but we do not like what we have turned into, what our attitude is, what our spirit has become, and how we know that we are not pleasant to be around. But in case a person that's going to get past that is a person that starts looking for the answer, diligently looking for how they are going to be able to fight their way through all of the bitterness. The word actually gives the idea of that direction that we must have. But what direction? It takes us back to the first part of the chapter. Looking diligently. Brother Joel, when I read that, my mind was drawn to verse number 2 where the writer says, looking unto Jesus. Stop looking at mom and dad. Stop looking at husband and wife. Stop looking at people in the church. For goodness sake, stop looking at the preacher. I've told you 100 times, this preacher will fail you, but the God inside of me will never fail you. He says, looking unto Jesus. Why? Because he is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. He did his job. One day we're going to be with him. One day we will have completed our job. You see, we fight to avoid and to abandon bitterness because Christ himself died to abolish it at Calvary. A bitter person is not in the will of God. A bitter person is living in sin. It doesn't matter if somebody else caused it. It doesn't matter if the circumstances just were not fair. No, fair. When you and I allow bitterness to come into our life, we are out of the will of God. We are in a level of sin in our life, and God will never, never, never bless that. We have got to fight to remedy this bitterness in every aspect and of our life. And I am telling you, that requires us swallowing our pride. That requires us falling down upon our faces before God and begging the blessed Lord to forgive us for backsliding into bitterness into the first place, and then for allowing other people to pull us into it, and then to beg God to help us to learn how to forgive other people for the bitterness that may have been rooted in what was said and done to us. And then have a fresh determination when we get up. We will never become a bitter person ever again. Bitterness today can end right here. The choice is yours. Miss Mickey's going to come to the piano. I mentioned a few moments ago I was going to illustrate something to you. It's a very personal story. But some years ago, many, many years ago actually, someone who is one of the most dear people in my life, someone did something to them, and frankly, it was just wrong. Okay, they were done wrong. That individual became consumed with how they had been done wrong. Sure enough, bitterness began to swell up and take over their lives. They withdrew from everybody that was in their circle of life. To a degree, they actually became a little bit somewhat of what I'll call even a recluse. They began to have a critical spirit. They began to never have any joy. They never laughed anymore. Nobody ever wanted to be around them anymore. Brother Daniel, you could actually see in this individual's life a dark cloud just taking over their life. It was a heartbreaking thing to witness. Their whole world changed. I'm talking about a saved person. a godly person, somebody that had served the Lord for years, given their lives to God. It's heartbreaking to watch. You know what happened before long? Their physical body began to go into drastic deterioration as bitterness ate them alive. That individual died a very young death. And the people that were close to them to this day will say that the reason that they died was because there was bitterness. That's where it all started. It was bitterness. Listen to me, church. I've struggled with bitterness in my life. Oh, goodness, a host of things. Struggled with bitterness in my life. But I want you to know that I've tried my best to fight my way through it because I've seen firsthand. I really have. I've seen firsthand. I've held the hands of those that have gone into eternity because of bitterness that had totally eaten them alive. Now, I want you to get this in your heart. Whoever controls your mind controls you. Whoever controls your mind controls you. You better make sure that Jesus owns everything in your mind. Robert Kowalski said this: don't be so bitter about bad experiences from your past that you miss the opportunities that are right in front of you. I'm telling you that bitterness is a tough topic for today's church. However many people are sitting in this building this morning are the amount of people that have battled with bitterness for one reason or another. It is the silent killer of Christians. I wonder today, is it killing you? Has anything that the Word of God has just described, you don't like who you are anymore, what you've become, you have spiritual indifference or whatever it is, has any of that aligned with where you're at in your life? Is bitterness killing you? The decision is yours. You can walk out this door and you can live in that bitterness, and you will likely die an early death out of the will of God, accomplishing nothing that He placed you here to do. Or you can do as I've tried to do, leading into this service. You can fall on your face before God. You say, "Dear God, I am going to live in peace with men. I'm going to follow holiness. I'm going to get back on the right side of spiritual matters. I refuse to die from the results of the secret killer, the silent killer of Christians." Call out to God. Let's quietly and reverently stand.